from the birthplace of radio's greatest era. Now, from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough. Unlike anything else on radio today, it's a front row seat for great information with today's leading experts. Travel with a third generation travel icon, Linda Perillo. The Fox News Medical All-Stars featuring Dr. Mark Siegel, Dr. Marty McCary, Dr. Jeanette Nishwat, and the OG, Dr. Nicole Sapphire. Legal analysis from former prosecutor and court journalism superstar Imran Ansari and Christine Nicholas. The quintessential heartbeat to New York hospitality. All joining legendary broadcast pro Kevin McCullough on a mission unlike any other. United to bring back New York. Now, live from Studio 111, here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, welcome to Radio Night Live for Wednesday. It's the Wellness Edition, and so glad to have you with us. Tonight, we have a brand new doctor that we are welcoming to the broadcast in our next segment. We're going to talk about cancer from a perspective of someone who's treated it for quite some time and get into some of the ups and downs of what he's seen, but looking forward to that conversation. We've got some fun stories to bring your way in addition to that. Yesterday, the world's oldest man was named in the new Guinness book. Every year, the oldest person usually dies, and so there's a new one that they proclaim. But the world's oldest man this year lives in England, and the Guinness Book and Fox News both asked him a little bit about one of the, what were the things that he would say were kind of the key driving points to why he's been able to live 111 years. By the way, if you see this guy's picture on foxnews.com, he looks like maybe he could be, 68, 70, something like that. He doesn't look 111. Not that I'm really familiar with what 111 would look like, I guess. But how has he done it? These were some of the pieces of advice that he gave. No smoking, very little alcohol, and a fair amount of good fortune. And then he said, and maybe a batch of fish and chips every week. Now, I got to think that the fish and chips are somewhat suspect here. You're talking about, deep fried fish and deep fried potatoes and having them weekly. I guess that's not any worse than, a fast food burger or something that we would have here. And certainly people do. His name is John Alfred Tenniswood of England. And he is 111 years, 223 days old as of April 5th. And so he became the world's oldest man of this moment by the Guinness Book. He received the new title following the death of Juan Vicente Perez of Venezuela, who was 114 when he died. Tenniswood lives in a care home in Southport, England. The staff who care for him describe him as a big chatterbox. They say even at his age, Tenniswood is able to do a lot on his own, including getting out of bed each morning, listening to the radio for his daily dose of news, and managing his own finances. Now, this is the kind of guy I want to be. Now, I don't know if I'll live to 111, but if I can stay this active, till my very last day that I'm breathing in and out, I will be very happy. What's the secret? He told the Guinness Book, mostly due to what he called pure luck. He said, you either live long or you live short, and you can't do much about it. So he just goes around saying, I'm just going to live. There's no winning diet that he follows. He does order battered fish and chips every Friday. So that's kind of, the routine for him. He says, but I eat what they give me, just like everybody else does. I don't have a special diet. And he does not smoke, and he rarely consumes alcohol. He noted that the importance of practicing moderation in everything people do is kind of important. He goes, if you drink too much, or you eat too much, or you walk too much, or if you do anything, you're going to suffer eventually. In his lifetime, these are the landmarks he's seen. He saw both world wars. He worked in an administrative role for the Army Pay Corps and also had a hand in tasks such as locating stranded soldiers and organizing food supplies. After that, he worked as an account representative in Shell and BP oil companies until his retirement in 1972. He also spent 44 years being married to Blodwyn, the love of his life. They met at a dance in Liverpool. She passed away in 86. 86. That was a while ago. Today, Tennis Wood has 4 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. And beginning with his milestone 100th birthday, which he celebrated in 2012, he received a very special birthday card from the late Queen Elizabeth II. That's kind of cool. He got to 100 years old, and she started sending him an annual birthday card. He was asked, do you have advice for younger generations? And this is good advice. He says, always do the best you can. Whether you're learning something or whether you're teaching someone, give it all you've got. Otherwise, it's not worth bothering with, he told the Guinness Book. To date, the oldest documented living man ever was Jiroman Kimura from Japan. He made it to 116 and 54 days. The oldest documented living woman, who happens to be the oldest living person overall right now on the planet, is Maria Brañas Morera from Spain. She is currently 117. He's got a ways to go to catch up to her, that's for sure. But how cool is that? That, you know, he says, you know, don't smoke, don't drink too much, order some fish and chips. Yeah, I got some cholesterol in there, but, you know, I'm 111. What are they going to do? And that's something to aim for. I mean, it had to be cool, too, when he got his first birthday card from Queen Elizabeth. You know, he turns 100. He's lived in England his whole life. Probably a big fan of the Queen, as most Britoners were. And then to get an annual birthday card from her, that had to be something special in some regard. So anyway, that's kind of a positive story to start out tonight on Wellness Night. If we could aim to be in that good a shape at that stage of life at 111 years old, be that with it, be that put together, be that understanding of, you know, what's going on. I think it's great that he still monitors the news and, you know, tries to keep up with what's going on. To me personally, brain activity, body activity, heart activity, life activity, the more active you are, the more you get out of life. So even with the surgery that I had a couple of weeks ago, like, you know, even when I was in the staff meeting this week, you know, our fearless leader, Jerry Crowley, said, hey, bud, how you feeling? And I'm like, you know, I'm getting there. But, you know, it's not how I feel. It's what am I capable of doing? And I'm a little bit disappointed because I haven't been able to go full-fledged, you know, fully back into yoga yet. We're getting there. The stitches are getting stronger every day. Not, you know, we're trying to just, you know, be safe. But at the end of the day, I want to have that active life where my mind stays active, my body stays active, I stay active. I want to make sure that my kids and grandkids have as much access to an active papa or grandpa as they can. But that's the goal. So we'll see what happens. All right, coming up next, Dr. Greg Marchand is going to be with us of the Marchand Institute, and his specialty has been for the longest time. He's the program director for the SLS accredited fellowship in minimally invasive gynecologic surgery. He's done a lot of stuff as an OBGYN as it relates to cancer and some of the things that people are dealing with in regards to this. And he is a very young man with quite a following. So we're kind of fortunate to get him on tonight. Looking forward to talking with him about all aspects of the practice that he is involved in. And if you know, OBGYN and oncology, be a very complicated thing. So hopefully it'll make some great sense for you and some encouragement for people that may be listening. We'll get to all that coming up next here on Radio Night Live.
This is Dennis Prager. I am excited to announce the all-new Pragertopia Plus. You can listen to my show whenever it's convenient for you, all commercial-free and all on demand. Now with Prager Plus, search topics, guests, and segments all the way back to 2010. And now a truly exciting new benefit, my monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. This is where for an hour each month, Pragertopia Plus members get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. That's right, anything. It's on video. I'll be talking to you and answering your questions. We may even have a special guest every now and then. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is only available to Pragertopia Plus members. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough. Glad to have you with us. And Mike Connors joins me every week to answer a real-life question. Mike, this week's question comes from Carmine in Middle Village. Says, I have a will but have heard that probate is a lengthy process and will be a burden on my children. Is there a better way to handle this? Mike Connors, this is in your sweet spot. What's the answer?
Yeah, well, that's it. That's what we have our seminars about, how to avoid probate. If when you pass away, you want to pass assets through your will, it has to go to court. And whenever you go through court, you never know what's going to happen. There's bureaucracy, there's delays, let alone if one of the children isn't satisfied with what's going on, they can really stall things up. So ordinarily, we want to avoid going through court. We want to avoid probate to make it easier on the children. That's where if you own real estate, we do a trust. If you have bank accounts, you have the bank accounts joint and trust for. If you have a brokerage account, you have a transfer on death. If you have IRAs, make sure you have beneficiaries. And you have a will as a backup, but you don't use the will as your first line of defense, so to speak.
Will, I hope that, or Carmine, I hope that helps you answer the question. But if you have any more questions, Mike's entire team is available, 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500. And you can always send them a question to have Mike answer on the air. Ask Mike Connors at gmail.com. He'll answer them with me here on Kevin McCullough, but also on his own broadcast Saturday morning at 8 o'clock on AM 570 and 102.3 FM The Mission, WMCA, and on AM 970 The Answer starting at 11. Again, that email address. AskMikeConnors at gmail.com, AskMikeConnors at gmail.com, or call 718-238-6500 for your own appointment. Mike Connors, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Charlie Kirk sees more control from the left.
RFK Jr. being on the ballot. This is bad news for the Democrats. You see, the Democrats, they don't like choices. The party of democracy, they want complete control over anyone that might be center-left in this country. They don't want free thinkers or independent-minded. And this is terrifying them.
The Charlie Kirk Show, weekdays at noon, right before Dennis Prager at 1 on AM 970. The Answer. Our hosts tell it like it is. No safe spaces here. AM 970. The Answer.
Of all the boys, boys, boys.
And now,
boys,
from boys, New York, boys, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
Of all the boys,
all right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. It's the Wellness Wednesday edition of the broadcast. And you know that I'm constantly talking to new people all the time about wellness and different aspects of life. And one of the things that kind of hit home in my household just a couple of weeks ago was when, after weeks and weeks and weeks of speculation, the Princess of Wales, Kate Middleton, finally announced, kind of cryptically but very directly, that she does have a form of cancer that she is battling. And my next guest says there's some things that the media and the medical experts are kind of missing in terms of her diagnosis and what it all means. He happens to be a dual board certified doctor in both OBGYN and MIGS. Dr. Greg Marchand, MD, joins us now. Hey, Greg, good to have you here.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And what is MIGS? I'm not familiar with that acrostic.
So MIGS is going to be minimally invasive gynecologic surgery.
Okay.
It's a subspecialty of OBGYN. So you go ahead and do your undergrad, your medical school, and then your OBGYN residency. And then I stayed on for a couple more years just to study the minimally invasive surgery, doing surgery just through tiny keyhole.
Well, and that is very, very intriguing to me on this level, too. I just recently had my gallbladder removed. And, of course, that's mostly laparoscopic now. But you've set a couple of Guinness Book World Records for removing pieces of the body that are as large as that through even smaller holes. Brag a little bit about your accomplishments.
Yeah, there was a little while ago we set a Guinness World Record for removing the largest uterus ever laparoscopically. So it was actually a very, very large fibroid uterus that had actually grown to 3,200 grams or 7 pounds.
Wow.
It was a heck of an operation. It was done much in the way of your gallbladder through tiny holes, though, of course, the uterus is in the pelvis. So it took a lot longer, and the incisions were going to be much lower than you'd have for a gallbladder. But it was over 6 hours of surgery. And at the end of it, we were able to remove this entire uterus through tiny holes, which was really a great thing. Because this was an older woman with several medical problems, including obesity. So we were actually able to get her out of the hospital, back on her feet, and back into her life fairly quickly.
Well, that's incredible. And considering the amount of time of recovery that old style surgery used to take, the whole laparoscopic tract to me is just very, very intriguing, because within a couple of days, I was able to be kind of up and around. And, it's been maybe 2.5 weeks now, and my scars are still showing, but the incisions have almost completely healed. And, I am so much the better for where I was before the surgery happened. But I know that if I had had it old school and had to crack the chest and all the rest of it, it still would have been some kind of touch and go for a little while.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And that's the main reason I'm just so passionate about minimally invasive gynecologic surgery. Just like you said, if they had to crack your abdomen open to do that, you would have had to stay in the hospital. That would have made you exposed to all the germs that are in the hospital, possibility of getting an infection. A hospital is where the worst germs in town are, because
that's
where
right.
Does someone go if they're sick? They go to the hospital. But not only that, there's other complications from being stuck in bed, not moving, complications like getting blood clots in your heart or your lungs, or having your lungs not being able to adjust. I mean, there's so much that can go wrong with these open surgeries. So, minimally invasive surgery is certainly my passion. I'm hoping to help bring it to as many women as possible. And kind of to segue back to what you mentioned, that's why we decided to try to see if we could set these Guinness World Records, to bring some more attention to minimally invasive surgery and kind of push the hand of maybe surgeons that might have been slow in adopting this, and we're still trying to do things the older ways.
I think doctors generally like the minimally invasive, because I think that's it's better for them too. At least that's the feeling I got from my surgeon when we were kind of concluding things. Let's shift gears back to Kate Middleton's diagnosis. You believe that the media and the experts that were commenting on her announcement and kind of everything that came after it were missing some things. Why do you think that?
Because of the way that the information she gave us, or Kensington gave us, it was cryptic, but also it didn't make a lot of sense. And I'm not a person that thinks we should pry into people's health lives. And I know a lot of people are going to say this, why are you talking about this? This is their private health. And if she had just said from the start, I'm having some health problems, I will update you. But she gave kind of some unusual details about the surgery without, giving us some of the details, but not all. She indicated that she was going to be in the hospital for a very long time following the surgery, a number of weeks, and that the surgery was not for a cancer. And that was kind of a very, very unusual thing to sort of say, because with the advent of minimally invasive surgery, which she certainly has access to, there really aren't many surgeries that are not for cancer that would require you to be in the hospital for a number of weeks. And what she actually said was, they're planning to remove the tumor, and then I'm going to have a 14-day hospital stay for this routine procedure. And, we just couldn't ignore that. So I discussed with some of my colleagues, and we really couldn't come up with a surgery in the abdomen that you were going to have, that you would know you would stay in the hospital for 14 days afterwards, unless you were going to say that it was either for cancer or there was a complication. And again, she said it was a planned procedure that wasn't a complication. So that really didn't add up. That was kind of what brought the interest into this. And then afterward, when she came back and said, well, no, it actually was a cancer, the fact that it couldn't be biopsied beforehand, that really leads us to the probability it's probably an ovarian cancer that we're talking about
here. Now, what is unique about ovarian cancer in terms of the world of cancers? Because obviously a lot of women are impacted by it, and it's a serious thing. Kate's a young woman.
Right. Ovarian cancer is a very horrible cancer. Not that there's any good cancers, but the survival rates on ovarian cancer are particularly low, hoping that hers was discovered early. But many of these cancers are not discovered till later because ovarian cancer has less signs than other cancers. It can advance more, get to more advanced stages without giving symptoms. Often the first symptom isn't until it starts to affect the bowels when it's already spread. But one unique thing about ovarian cancer is that it's one of only a few cancers in the abdomen that you wouldn't biopsy ahead of time. You wouldn't do the biopsy before the surgery, because biopsying an ovarian cancer would generally disrupt the capsule around the tumor, or the skin kind of, so to speak, around the tumor, which could then spill the tumor materials and spread it. So the fact that I think the media kind of missed is that if she was being honest, and I believe she was, that she didn't know it was a cancer when they went in, and then later found out it was a cancer, that's almost certainly going to be ovarian cancer, because you wouldn't know before the procedure. So you could honestly say that I'm going in for a non-cancer procedure. And then, of course, she wasn't completely open about the fact that if it did turn out to be a cancer, more things would need to be done and she could stay for 14 days. But it would be reasonable to say routinely I could stay for up to 14 days.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because my bride is someone who follows the royal family rather closely, big fan of Kate Middleton, and she was in my ear off to the side for weeks prior to the actual announcement. You know, I think it's more than what they're telling us. And when they said that it wasn't cancerous before the procedure and then it turned out to be afterwards, we came to kind of the similar conclusion there. We're speaking with Dr. Greg Marchand of, he's dual certified in OBGYN and in minimally invasive surgery, and he's doing a great job. He's also got some very strong opinions about several other topics that we're going to talk about tonight. His first time being with us here on Wellness Wednesday. Stay here, coming right back.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Have you heard? Michaels of Brooklyn. They went from 50% to 75%. They are now at 100% capacity. And by reservation, following all the CDC guidelines, they can ensure your safety and the health of their patrons and employees. And now's the time that you can get back to Michaels of Brooklyn and have some of that authentic Italian food. Celebrate Michaels of Brooklyn 100% capacity by joining the Sauce of the Month Club. You'll get a different jar of Michaels of Brooklyn pasta sauce, homemade pasta, and biscotti each month for about 6 months. Each month, receive exquisite sauces ranging from arrabbiata to puttanesca, and of course their fresh marinara. They're family owned and operated. It's authentic. Everything is made completely from scratch. Even the sauce that they sell in the grocery stores nationwide, they make it right there at Michaels of Brooklyn. Visit michaelsofbrooklyn.com, join their Sauce of the Month Club. That's michaelsofbrooklyn.com, or call 718-988-7851 for reservations. That's 718-988-7851. Michaels of Brooklyn, serving the community since 1964.
Want more AM970 The Answer? Take us on the go with our Listen Live feature at AM970TheAnswer.com or download our AM970 The Answer app today. Just go to the iPhone App Store or Google Play Store and search AM970 The Answer.
War has played a key role in the history of the United States, from the nation's founding right down to the present. Wars made the United States independent, kept it together, increased its size, and established it as a global superpower. Hi, I'm James Early, host of the Key Battles of American History podcast. In each episode, I discuss American history through the lens of the most important battles of America's wars. To start listening now, go to ParthenonPodcast.com or search Key Battles of American History on your favorite podcasting platform.
For Beverly, winning the fight against vision loss means focusing on what's closest to her. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is committed to funding research to end blinding retinal diseases. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Learn more at fightingblindness.org.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or odyssey.com.
Hi, it's Kevin McCullough. Join our sister station, WMCA, for the upcoming Pastors Appreciation Breakfast and Ministry Exhibition to give back to the hardworking pastors and ministry leaders of the tri-state area. Friday, May 24th at the Christian Cultural Center in Brooklyn. Invite your pastor. The Pastors Appreciation Breakfast will include a delicious breakfast from DR Catering, fellowship, and a radio broadcast featuring yours truly. Enjoy music led by the CCC worship leaders and get gift bags, ministry awards, and an empowering keynote address from visionary pastor Ahar Bernard. This is a unique opportunity to come together as church and ministry leaders to inspire one another to press on. WMCA thanks you for your faithfulness to the calling, so don't miss this opportunity for encouragement. Pastors and ministry leaders, the event is free for you and your guests, but you must register. For more information or to reserve your tickets, go to WMCA.com. The Pastors Appreciation Breakfast is sponsored by But A Few Cohen Associates, PLLC, and the Historical Bible Society.
Hi, it's Arthur Idala. If you listen to my show regularly, you may have heard me talk about my respect for court reporters. Well, I've got some exciting news for you. The New York State Unified Court System recently held a press conference and declared court reporting as the best career you've never heard of. Why? Because they just created a position designed specifically for brand new court reporters. The court reporting trainee position allows new court reporters to enter the court system making an annual salary upwards of $75,000 with an additional $4,600 in location pay if you live in New York City, Nassau, or Suffolk County. To qualify for the position, you don't need any working experience as a court reporter. You just need to have graduated from an approved court reporting institution and write at 225 words per minute. If you're not sure if court reporting is right for you, you can test drive the program through Plaza's free virtual A to Z program. For more information, email info@plazacollege.edu. That's info@plazacollege.edu.
Breaking news and local news. Find it on our website, am970theanswer.com.
And now, from New York, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
Glad you're back with us, Kevin McCullough. Glad to have you. It's the Wednesday edition of Radio Night Live, where we talk wellness issues, and Dr. Greg Marchand is my guest. He's dual board certified in obstetrician gynecology and also minimally invasive surgery, where, you know, they go in with the cameras. And Greg, I gotta tell you, you know, when I got home from having my surgery, you know, to be able to show to my kids, you know, the four incisions and say, yeah, they blew up my belly like a tent. They stuck a camera in there and then they went to work in this other one up here and pulled it all out. I mean, it kind of weird to think about it, but also kind of miraculous at the same time that you can get in there and see as clearly as you can.
Absolutely. That's exactly why I'm so passionate about minimally invasive surgery. And then, of course, the first thing you said, there's the most important part, the fact that you were able to go right home and show your kids.
Yeah.
Obviously, if your belly had to be cut wide open, we'd be talking days in the hospital. And of course, the risks of complications or infections that that could result in. So, yeah, that's why I just love minimally invasive surgery so much.
Well, another trend that has been trending on social media in recent days is the term Ozempic babies. But what is this trend and why is it trending?
Yeah, it's a trend that's definitely going on. It's something I've not only heard from my colleagues and I've seen on social media, but I've seen it in my own practice too. As you're well aware, semaglutide, it's sold as Ozempic or Wegovy, and the other medications in the glucagon light peptide or GLP-1 category are extremely popular. There's just a ton of people on them. People are aware of the possibility of them causing weight loss, and not just weight loss, but better diabetes control, reducing heart attacks, reducing strokes, and knock on wood, so far we've seen very little in the way of complications. But it's really amazing that we're seeing so many people that believe themselves to be fertile for a long time, people that may have been trying to get pregnant for years and years, just having given up on it. Suddenly they're on Ozempic, have a significant weight loss, and next thing they know, they get a positive pregnancy test. And it's something I've seen in my own practice.
So explain from a science standpoint why it's happening.
Well, losing weight is generally going to be a healthy thing. And so there certainly is some benefit to improving fertility. If you're going to be in the healthiest state you can, if you're morbidly obese, you're going to be less fertile just because of circulating hormone levels and having to do with overall health. But it's really more than that. I believe personally the main factor here is going to be polycystic ovarian syndrome. Polycystic ovarian syndrome is an extremely common hormonal syndrome that affects about 20% of women. Where the hormonal cycle gets out of whack. Like most hormonal syndromes, we don't completely understand it, but it can make periods abnormal, cause women to get testosterone symptoms like facial hair and acne, and it can make it harder to get pregnant. And semaglutide is a very good treatment for PCOS. So I personally believe there's just a ton of women out there with undiagnosed PCOS that have maybe just given up on getting pregnant. Maybe they'd seen somebody for a while and couldn't solve it, couldn't get pregnant. So you start treating them with the semaglutide, and next thing you know, there's a great chance they'll get a positive pregnancy test, especially after a significant weight loss.
If you had patients coming to see you, maybe you have, and they're hearing about this, are they starting to ask for it?
Well, there is no shortage of patients wanting semaglutide. This is really the first real effective weight loss medication we've had. I don't know if you remember Fen-Phen, and then after that Orlistat. These were attempts at prescription weight loss medications that worked for some people, but in my opinion, really were more of a placebo effect, that you were going to make the lifestyle changes and maybe the medicine would help a little. But semaglutide, I can tell you, has a tremendous effect on essentially everyone that takes it. Knock on wood, we've seen very little in the way of side effects, thank God. But it has a very large effect and will enact weight loss in almost everyone who tries it, and it's well tolerated by many people. So I have no shortage of patients who want it. What I have is a shortage of patients who can get their insurance to pay for it. So I have tons of patients looking to get it through Canada, where it's much more cheap, and patients getting it from compounding pharmacies, where of course it's going to be made in smaller batches, not made in the $1 billion factory in Norway.
Gotcha. Well, the idea that it has so many positive benefits from blood sugar and diabetes to weight loss and even fertility is certainly something that we've not heard. We generally don't hear positive things about drugs. In fact, I'm getting tired of the 2.5 minute disclaimer that they cram into 45 seconds at the end of a prescription drug commercial on television. In fact, if you asked my bride, she'd say we shouldn't be advertising prescription drugs on TV at all. She said that should be something that, you know, doctors and patients decide. What's your take on that? How do you feel about the almost advocacy that the advertisements say, you know, ask your doctor about such and such. Is that helpful?
I'm not sure it's completely helpful. I like direct to doctor marketing, especially for doctors that might not be aware of things out there. I think it's pretty well regulated at this point. I haven't seen anything that jumped on the screen that has just offended me lately coming from a drug company. They seem to, as you say, all have that kind of tailored ending at the end where they cram a large warning in. Yeah. And so, I mean, that's certainly a red flag.
Get rid of warts forever, but you might die from the heart attack it gives you. So just be warned ahead of time. That sometimes right, they kind of come off that way, and it's not funny, but it strikes me as humorous from time to time. We're talking with Dr. Greg Marchand. We're coming right back. Stay here.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Wish there was an easier way to navigate the world of real estate. If only there was a way to learn from the best. Well, now there is. Saturdays at 10, our very own Dottie Herman, vice chair of Douglas Elliman, gives you the inside track to what is hot in real estate. Stay one step ahead in today's seller's market as Dottie gives her tips on how to make it through the tricky waters. Doesn't matter if you're new to the game or a seasoned vet, you need to listen to Eye on Real Estate. Dottie and her team of experts will guide you as sellers and buyers to make sure you're getting the best value for your property. Whether you want to become a real estate agent or work within the business, there is no better person to learn from than the great Dottie Herman. Why? Because she is the best. Period. So tune in, Eye on Real Estate, Saturdays at 10 on AM 970, The Answer. That's Eye on Real Estate, Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock on AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, it's Kevin McCullough. Join our sister station, WMCA, for the upcoming Pastors Appreciation Breakfast and Ministry Exhibition to give back to the hardworking pastors and ministry leaders of the tri-state area, Friday, May 24th at the Christian Cultural Center in Brooklyn. Invite your pastor. The Pastors Appreciation Breakfast will include a delicious breakfast from DR Catering, fellowship, and a radio broadcast featuring yours truly. Enjoy music led by the CCC worship leaders and get gift bags, ministry awards, and an empowering keynote address from visionary pastor Ahar Bernard. This is a unique opportunity to come together as church and ministry leaders to inspire one another to press on. WMCA thanks you for your faithfulness to the calling, so don't miss this opportunity for encouragement. Pastors and ministry leaders, the event is free for you and your guests, but you must register. For more information or to reserve your tickets, go to WMCA.com. The Pastors Appreciation Breakfast is sponsored by Buttafuoco & Associates, PLLC, and the Historical Bible Society.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
How did Joe Piscopo start your morning?
We do 4 hours a day. It's live radio. Everybody's listening to AM because you can only get the truth at AM radio. We're 4 hours of live radio. And that's you virtually, roughly, and sometimes more, sometimes three guests an hour, sometimes more. We're working. We're working it.
Listen to Joe Piscopo, weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Remember as a kid, your parents and grandparents make you try all the vegetables on your plate? Or when they coaxed you to eat fruit instead of sweets? That's because they knew what was good for you. And it's truer today than ever before. You need to eat your fruits and veggies. There's no substitute for a healthy diet, but there is balance in nature. Their products are gluten-free and non-GMO, and they contain no added sugars or synthetics. If you're looking for something to make you feel better, naturally, you should try Balance of Nature. Eat your fruits and veggies every single day with Balance of Nature. I started taking Balance of Nature the day I decided I was ready to feel better. When you order online or call them direct, you must use promo code CHARLIE to get this special offer of 35% off. So call them at 800-2468-751 and use discount code CHARLIE, or online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code CHARLIE for 35% off. That is discount code CHARLIE. Call 800-2468-751. Discount code CHARLIE for 35% off.
America First with Sebastian Gorka. Weekday afternoons at 3 and evenings at 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
Ooh. What a little moonlight can do.
Back to Kevin McCullough, live from New York.
Ooh.
So glad to have you with us, Kevin McCullough. It's Wellness Wednesday, and in a day and age where we have basically now systematized through the public schools because of the current administration's push for it, getting kids to question their gender and to wonder if they're in the right body, et cetera, there's oftentimes going to be things that... people that deal with, you know, the sexual organs in medicine, et cetera, are going to have to face eventually. Dr. Greg Marchand is duly board certified as an obstetrician gynecologist and as a I've already forgotten the acronym.
Makes minimally invasive.
Minimally. I was stuck on minimally. It's really, really, really small, minimally invasive surgery. And he is a big passionate believer in that. And I am too, actually, though I don't have the types of needs that he's performing surgery with. My gallbladder was minimally invasive. It was laparoscopic, and I was glad to be up and about shortly thereafter. But Dr. Marchand, the debate over sex and gender and identity has been something that has raged in the culture this last 3 years since the Biden administration basically kind of put down on public schools, you have to push this agenda or we're going to cut off your funding for, you know, poor kids' breakfast and lunches and stuff. As a result, we're now talking about things in that space that we haven't talked about before, like surgeries, particularly in situations where we would have never considered them before, and also the use of drugs. And in particular, cross-sex hormones and puberty blockers are the things that really come into laser focus when you get into this discussion. And recently, England announced a policy to stop the prescribing of the puberty-blocking hormones. And I'm curious if you can give us a little update as to why England made this decision and kind of your take on it.
Right. They made the decision because it was exactly the right move. I mean, this is a dangerous and unethical practice. These puberty blockers generally leuprolide. Now, this is a medication I'm very familiar with because it's also used for fighting endometriosis and other forms of pelvic pain. So I've used this medication on menopausal women for years, and on them there are tons of side effects. This is a powerful medication. But really what you're doing here is just overall so cruel. I mean, we're stopping puberty. We don't know if we can effectively restart it because everyone knows that endocrinology is far behind the other medical sciences. So we don't know when it restarts, if they're going to get the full benefit of puberty or if they're going to end up with their growth being more or less than it would have been. You know, the same way when you interfere with growth in a child that needs growth hormone for other medical reasons, you just don't know. It's not an exact science. But I mean, the real horrible thing that we're doing here is we're not only robbing these children of maturing physically, but we're robbing them of maturing mentally. We're taking away their possibility to make a decision for themselves. So even if you're so so progressive as to believe that some people are going to decide that they're the other gender, you know, all on their own, you're taking away that decision from them, because we all know we could take a class full of 7-year-olds and convince them anything we wanted to, you know, that that up was down, the sky was blue, or the sky wasn't blue, or something like that. But you couldn't convince reasonable adults. So if you're going to give these hormones to people, you're just essentially taking away their ability to ever make this decision, and then forcing them down the path of whatever socialist agenda the person that's, you know, grooming them into this wants them to have. And that's really unfortunate. I think really at the core of this is socialism, the idea that they want to take away the ability of these people to have a relationship, you know, like a man and a woman in a marriage, and support themselves and have them dependent on the government, have them have no choice in life but to vote for a living.
Well, it is a very interesting observation that you draw, because as a doctor, you're not primarily political, and yet you're seeing the ramifications of what all of this means. And the things that I talk with a lot of moms groups that are very active on this, because the raising of these issues has really agitated the mother's voting block. And I think you're going to see moms come out and vote in a big kind of unified voice on these issues largely this year. But it's one thing if you come to the adult stage of life and then you decide for yourself that you want to take the experimentation and go down a certain path. That's a decision that you've made with the full knowledge of you've already developed. Your mind is sound and you're making your own choice. To do that on behalf of someone else when that person really has no say in it, that's just heinous to me.
You're exactly right. I mean, that's a special level of evil. So I'm glad mothers are paying attention to this and coming out to vote against it, or vote against politicians that are in favor of it. And make no mistake, this is absolutely everyone's problem. This is not a something happening behind closed doors with consenting adults that maybe we should stay out of. This is them coming for the children. And there's really no data behind it. I mean, all of this kind of quasi data on it comes from the idea that they might be preventing some suicides, we have no long-term follow-up. People that are involved in the transgender ideology have very high suicide rates and very high cases of comorbidities with mental illness. And there just is no other area of medicine where we consider somebody wanting to kill themselves, if we don't give them what they want, as a good reason to do something. We certainly wouldn't give narcotics for that reason.
Yeah.
And it just seems to be simple logic that if someone says they're going to kill themselves if they don't get something, the last thing you should do is give them what they want.
I've often wondered this, why have we invested all of this energy to try to convince the body to agree with the mind, to look at something that's opposite of what science is, the kind of anti-science in the matter, to try to get that into agreement, as opposed to working with the person to help the mind come into alignment with science? It seems that there is much greater energy needed to convince the body to go anti-science, to come into agreement with a mind that's out of alignment, than it would be the other direction. And yet we're so the stories are replete with all of these examples of people that are trying to push kids in that direction. When I think honestly, it's an easier lift and it's a more healthy one to keep the mind and get the mind back in alignment with what the science is.
I really couldn't agree with you more there. Unfortunately, I think the people that are behind this are not really worried at all about the medicine. I think it's mostly political, and the drive is to get these people signed up at a very early age, get their ability to make decisions to avoid this eliminated by keeping them prepubescent with puberty blockers, and then just keep them right along the train of needing these hormonal injections their whole life. Wow. Just keep telling them that you're a special thing, a special something that doesn't belong, and the only way you can get by is if the government protects you, government pays you, and essentially just getting them to a socialist system to vote for a living, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's some pretty incredible insight. Well, we didn't get to all the topics that we wanted to, but Dr. Greg Marchand, thank you for being with us tonight, and come on back.
Thank you very much.
You got it. Kevin McCullough from New York. Stay here. My final thoughts next.
I've seen people's lives and their families' lives turn completely upside down by devastating accidents. And that's why I started my law firm. I'm Eric Chafin, co-founder of Chafin Lujana Law. Our firm makes sure that you recover everything you're entitled to, including, for example, your lost wages, your medical expenses, as well as your pain and suffering. Our team has the experience and expertise in personal injury cases to get you the best legal recovery while you focus on your health and healing. If you've been injured, call us and let us do good and right for you.
Go to ChafinLujana.com or call 800-873-0818. If you've been hurt because of someone else's negligence, Chafin Lujana will help you get the meaningful compensation you deserve. Call 800-873-0818 now. Our attorneys have recovered over $1 billion for victims like you. Don't settle for less than you deserve. Go to ChafinLujana.com or call us for your free case review. Call 800-873-0818. That's 800-873-0818. 800-873-0818.
Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. We normally come to you at this time each year here on this radio station to ask you to help us to feed a growing list of children who do not have enough to eat. Anitra Parmali is with us from Food for the Poor. How does it work, Anitra?
It works because of you. Food for the Poor has been working in 17 countries throughout the Caribbean and Latin America. These are countries that have been designated as those most in need. We're talking about families identified by community leaders. These are families that are teetering on the brink of destruction and a lack of life. These have already been identified, but into that darkness, into that despair, we invite you to step with your generous gift. Food for the Poor is nothing more than a bridge between your generosity and the needs of families like the father who sets out this morning. He'll walk 2-3 miles because he's heard a rumor that somebody has food for him. Mm. Your gift is the reason a Food for the Poor volunteer is going to be able to tell him, here's food, not just for today, but for a year.
And imagine being that father for just a second, friend. How humiliating is it to know that you don't have the ability to give food to your children? Of all of the things that you grow up and you want to do as a father, supplying their basic needs is first and foremost. And yet, because of the generosity of you and a matching gift that's in effect right now, in fact, for the next 5 minutes, if you call, every dollar you give will be matched in its impact. So you will be able to feed twice as many children right now. Normally, $80 would feed one child for a full year. But if you give it right now, it's going to feed two kids. Will you go and make the difference? 855-919-4673, 855-919-4673, or go to am970theanswer.com.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Brandon Tatum is next on AM970, The Answer. Once more, from New York, Radio Night Live, here's Kevin McCullough.
Okay, final few minutes of tonight's wellness edition of Radio Night Live. And I had an immediate reaction when this story came across my desk today. Number of years ago, when I started practicing yoga, there's a lot of different aspects to yoga that I was never aware of, that I used to kind of make fun of people that did it. And then I realized how hard it was. And I quickly changed my attitude about it and have really appreciated the people that have helped me to learn how to do it better over the last 4 years. But one of the things I didn't like doing, and I don't like doing, and I hate doing, are planks. Now, you know what planks are, right? It's where you basically like make your body the equivalent of a still board, a piece of wood, a plank, if you will, and you hold it in position with your toes and your hands touching the ground. After about 15 to 20 seconds, the average person goes, oh, this is hard. And if you can make it to a minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes, and each one of those barriers is a big barrier to get past, you're doing very well. You're doing far superior to most people if you can hold your plank for 2 minutes. Now, our boys, we have had in Taekwondo for the last number of years, they have to do lots of burpees and push-ups and planks. So when the middle school fitness test rolled around for my oldest last year, he was able to hold the plank. I think the previous class record was like 4.5 minutes, and he went all the way to 5.5 minutes just to show him that it could be done, and did a great job. Well, this lady's got, he's got nothing on this lady. Let's put it that way. A grandmother just broke the Guinness World Book of Records for the longest time in an abdominal plank position for a female. Donna Jean Wild, 58-year-old mom and grandmother of 12, mother of 5, set the record for holding a plank, get this, for 4 hours and 30 minutes. Not 4.5 minutes, which is what the record for my kids' sixth grade class was. 4.5 hours. And she did it at the high school where she was once the vice principal before she retired. To obtain the world record, she had to keep her forearms and toes on the ground throughout while keeping the remainder of her body straight and lifted up off the ground. She told the Guinness Book that she typically planks for up to 3 hours every day, but she has actually upped her regimen ahead of the record-breaking day to 6 hours, split into 2 3-hour blocks. By the way, if you think that planks are not good exercise, I would encourage you to just try doing it. They've done heat cameras on the body, and the plank is one of those exercises where, even though there's almost no motion to it at all, every bit of your entire body is lit up. Your forehead, your shoulders, your arms, your torso, if you're doing it right, your legs, even down to your toes. So congratulations to Grandma, and that's a record I don't think is ever going to be broken. Kevin McCullough, we will see you next time.